Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So what do Prince Harry, Elon Musk, T.S. Eliot, Ashley Judd, Matthew McConaughey, Emma Watson, and Hugh Jackman have in common? They all took a gap year, or a year off, to study abroad. And if you don't know, a gap year is an interim period typically between high school and the first year of college. It is now mid-June, and high school seniors got their diplomas within the past few weeks, and many of them are now on gap. There's even an organization, it's called the Gap Year Association, to help students who want to take a gap year. The association emphasizes that a gap year is not a year off, but a year on. During a gap year, students are living in the meantime, between the end of high school and the beginning of college. They're living between their past and their future. They're in a kind of twilight zone they know will not last forever, which is fortunate because, like the twilight zone, some weird stuff often happens in gap year. Sometimes the weird stuff is what others simply call growing up. But a gap year can be important time, valuable time, or it can be time squandered away. Even in pre-COVID times, Harvard University made a practice of encouraging its admitted students to consider deferring admission and taking a gap year. 20% of its first-year students have now taken them up on that offer. Many, if not most, of these students use the year to travel, experience personal growth, and prepare for the future. The Apostle Paul's whole life was a gap life. It was life in parentheses, life in the anteroom of the kingdom of heaven. It was life before life, if you will. He writes in our text this morning, "While we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord," he says. "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." Paul is now living in the meantime, a period of time between now and then. You're at the airport early. You've checked in, cleared security, and now you're putting your clothes back on. This is the now part. Your flight doesn't leave for another 60 minutes or so. Well, that's the then part. So between the now and the then, you decide to get a bite to eat at the restaurant cafe and check your email. Perhaps you have a little work to do. You might read a book, which is what I typically do. That's what living in the meantime means. Paul was too. His flight, if you will, was not scheduled to leave quite yet. In fact, he didn't know when he would be pushing back from the gate. In his letter to the Philippians, he echoes our text today and says that he's all packed and ready to go, but he suspects a delay. "For to me, living is Christ," he says, "and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two," he says. "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you," he says. "And since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to see you again." Notice his comment about being pressed between the two. He knew that he was living in the now, even though he preferred the then. For him, it was a choice, not his to make, of course, between life and death. For us, living in the meantime does not involve this choice, one would hope. Often, however, we feel like we're on a treadmill in the meantime, or perhaps we have a sense of a pit in our stomachs or in some profound place in our hearts, that we're stuck in a sea of uncertainty. The winds aren't blowing. We're going nowhere. At least that's how it feels. The Apostle Paul didn't feel that way. In prison, he was doing time, but it wasn't a bad time. And even when he wasn't in prison, life was no bed of roses. He was beaten, abused, shipwrecked, and more. Living in the meantime for him meant living in some very mean times. But he did not regard his gap life to be an empty life. Quite the contrary, he thought of downtime as uptime with the Lord, and to go back to that crucial insight that a gap year is not a year off, but a year on, every year of his Christian life was a year on for the Apostle Paul. And it can be for us too, as well, unless we don't have a mission. No doubt there are some high school students who will fritter away a gap year, using it as an excuse to be lazy. Most, however, have a plan. The Apostle Paul did. He was quite clear about the mission of his gap life, of his living in the meantime. In the meantime, while awaiting his death or return of Jesus Christ, he definitely had work to do. And there were people who needed him to fulfill his mission. The Bible's advice about living successfully in the meantime was a major theme for the Apostle Paul. It was a tune he played continually, and it dominates his writings. In our text, he reveals the mystery in verses 6 and 7. "So we are always confident," he says. Why? "Because we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, for the Apostle Paul, it was always about faith. He simply urges us to revisit our core values when we're living in the meantime and to begin to live by them. He's convinced that when we do this, our purpose and mission will reveal itself. Now, I try to avoid too many football illustrations in my preaching, but being a transplant to Wisconsin, I've finally broke down to read David Marinus's best-selling biography of Vince Lombardi, the famed Green Bay Packers coach, perhaps one of the best coaches in football history. In his book, Marinus pinpoints the moment the Green Bay Packers began their march to greatness. It began in the summer of 1961. The Packers had lost the 1960 championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles when they squandered a fourth quarter lead. Lombardi opened camp the following summer. He knew the players were brooding about that loss. They wanted to take their game to the next level. They were living in the meantime, that time between their humiliating defeat and the moment still in the future when they would hoist the trophy. They were so close, they felt it. To a man, everyone believed this, except Lombardi. When the players came into camp that summer, he regarded each of them as a kind of tabula rasa, a blank or clean slate. He was going to start over with these kids. Marinus writes, "He took nothing for granted. He began a tradition of starting from scratch, assuming the players were blank slates who carried over no knowledge from the year before. He began with the most elemental statement of all. 'Gentlemen,' he said, holding a pigskin in his right hand, this is a football. He took the team back to the fundamentals. He taught them how to block and tackle. And under Lombardi's tutelage, they never lost another playoff game. They beat the New York Giants 37-0 that year, and they won 5 championships in 7 years, and 3 in a row during one stretch. And he never coached a team with a losing record. Fundamentals first, said Coach Lombardi. Faith first, said the Apostle Paul, because faith is the fundamental secret or key to living in the meantime. Paul holds up faith like Lombardi held a football. Friends in Christ, this is faith, he said. Walk by it, hold on to it. Don't drop it or let it slip. Cling tightly to it, believe in it, carry it, and it will carry you. Most high school students who take a gap year do so voluntarily. But life doesn't always work out that way, does it? Sometimes we have no choice. A gap life is thrust upon us like a global pandemic or a debilitating disease. Unsuspected stuff happens in life, and suddenly we find ourselves living between two points, what was and what we hope will be. Meanwhile, we've got to figure out our mission, our purpose in life. Paul walked by faith in the time between the now and the then, and so can we. Paul knew he was an ambassador for Christ, and his lifelong mission was to reconcile people to God and to one another. The fundamental truth to which we must cling is that God does have a purpose for us. And God is working that purpose out day by day, right now, and especially in those times when we feel like we're living in a gap year. Thanks be to God. Amen.